Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Okay, here's the whole. The economy is currently losing every year right now, we're losing about $450 billion in the wealth held largely by the middle class in our housing. This does not include commercial property, which is probably that or more. Almost a little more than a half a trillion, $650 billion in consumer spending, $150 billion in commercial real estate. That's a $1.5 trillion hole. There are a few things you can add to that. I'll get to those in just a minute. You add it all together, it's basically a $2.5 or $3 trillion hole, bottom line. To fill that hole, Barack Obama proposed about $600 billion worth of expensive spending and a couple hundred billion dollars worth of tax cuts. These so-called centrists, this is a word that should be said with as much spit and venom as conservative, frankly, these days. The so-called centrists, as Paul Krugman points out in his op-ed piece in today's New York Times, are destroying that. He says, what do you call someone who eliminates hundreds of thousands of American jobs, deprives millions of adequate health care and nutrition, undermines schools, but offers a $15,000 bonus to affluent people who flip their houses? A proud centrist. He said the centrists did their best to make the plan weaker and worse, and they did. Now, here's this is the crime of crimes. What we are looking at now is a situation that is far worse, frankly, than anybody is willing to say out loud. It doesn't mean that we should all go out and, you know, find a bridge to jump over or you know, find a tarp to sleep in the alleyway. It is possible to catch this thing before it entirely falls. But Humpty Dumpty's halfway down off the wall in slow motion. And, you know, we've got to tighten up that net that he's going to fall into to mangle a metaphor. The front page of today's Financial Times, the headline, companies' capital spending to fall by a third. Companies in Europe and the Middle East are planning to slash capital expenditures this year by a third on average. You know what that means? Companies' capital spending, that's like, you know, equipment, stuff for making things. It's the infrastructure of industry. They're going to cut it by a third. Why? Because they know that some really, really, really bad stuff is here and coming down the road. Meanwhile, these so-called centrists, these insane so-called centrists, are not just fiddling while Rome burns. They're running around pouring gasoline on the flames. And, of course, the conservatives are even worse. The conservatives are the ones that the centrists think that they're sucking up to. Some of them used to be conservatives. You've got, you know, Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins, the Republicans from Maine. George Voinovich even bailed out of this thing. Arlen Specter, who's looking at his own state turning blue and he's up for re-election in a year and a half, he's, well, okay, I'll go along with this. We're just going to water it down. It's sort of like saying, you know, we know there's a flood coming. Down in New Orleans, we know that there's a flood coming. It's going to be probably 12, 14 feet high. So let's get 16 feet worth of sandbags just in case. And the conservatives come along and say, you don't need any sandbags at all. Come on, there ain't going to be no flood. And if there is, we'll just call it urban renewal. And so the centrists come along and they say, I've got an idea. Let's make it 6 feet tall. Keep in mind, the predicted flood is 12. That's what's going on. 600,000 jobs gone last month. And you got right wing whack jobs like Lindsey Graham saying, "We need to slow down, take a time out." Roger Wicker, the Republican from Mississippi, "Let's not rush into doing this the wrong way." John Ensign, the Republican from Nevada, "There's no hurry." Tom Coburn, the Republican from Oklahoma, "Dr. No, there's no reason for us to hurry up." Number one. Right. The so-called centrist cuts. I'm telling you, centrists are just Republicans who don't have the balls to call themselves Republicans, pardon my language, who don't have the courage to call themselves. Centrist economic recovery package disproportionately cuts programs for women and children. Gee, what a surprise. This is the headline over at Think Progress. $150 million cut to the Violence Against Women Act, $50 million cut to the Victims of Crime Act, $25 million cut to the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, $1.1 billion cut to Head Start, $50 million to quality teacher partnership grants, $5 billion for prevention and wellness, including diabetes and HIV testing and screening, $13 billion in Pell Grants, $2 billion for child care development block grants, all cut by the so-called centrists. These are not centrists. These are children with hammers running around hitting things, not knowing what it is they're hitting. Let me tell you what they're hitting. I mean, let's just get into this. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Bill Buckler. William Buckler, he lives in Australia. He publishes a newsletter called The Privateer, and he's done a great job of compiling, which I subscribe to. And he's done a great job of compiling much of this information. So our gross domestic product here in the United States, this thing fell, our GDP, fell at an annual rate of 3.8% in the fourth quarter. Now, that's pretty bad. That means our economy is contracting. But that's nothing. When you add in unsold inventories, see, that's just sales. Sales fell. Okay, so if sales fall, there's a bunch of stuff sitting on the shelves that hasn't sold. You add that in, if you include unsold inventories that normally would have sold, not all the unsold inventory, just the stuff that normally would have been going through the pipeline, you've got a fall in GDP of over 5%. Now, this is the leading edge of a depression, not a recession. In the fourth quarter, just in the fourth quarter, just in the last 3 months of last year, we saw a 19% drop. You'll recall the 30% drop I just read you from today's Financial Times was for Europe, this and the Middle East. This is the United States, a drop of 19.1% in the fourth quarter. That means that we're not buying stuff to get ready to make stuff. Why? Because the people in business know it's going to be a long time before they're making any stuff. And in fact, a lot of that unsold inventory, for it to be sold as prices continue to drop, it's going to have to be sold at a loss. 71% of our economy is consumer spending. You know, a good chunk of it's military, a good chunk of it's government spending. 71% is consumer spending. That fell 3.4%, 3.5% in the fourth quarter, 3.8% in the quarter before that, the third quarter. Demand, U.S. domestic demand, this is, you know, the final sales to domestic purchasers, dropped almost 5%. This is the fifth worst quarter since World War II. This is deflation. Deflation is when the dollar rises in value and everything else collapses around it. Now it's going to get weird, and it's going to get weird because of 28 years of Reaganomics, and $10 trillion in debt, which is going to ultimately combine deflation with a destruction of the U.S. dollar. Now let's get into some of the details here. First of all, we've got $2 trillion in U.S. credit that is probably going to be pulled out from underneath us this year. That's $2 trillion. The banks are looking at this thing. This is credit that would have been extended to people on credit cards and home mortgages that the banks are saying, sorry, we can't afford to loan this stuff. We don't have this money on our balance sheets anymore. Now, in a fractional reserve banking system like we have, money supplies get expanded when money gets loaned. When banks loan money, it literally creates money out of thin air. When loans are paid off, it literally makes money vanish into nothing. So what's happening right now is consumers, to the tune of around 3% annually, are paying off their loans and saving money instead of buying things. And banks are no longer extending credit. The consequence of this is that our money supply is contracting. This is not a good thing. U.S. consumer prices dropping 0.5% in December and November. Meanwhile, the housing market lost $3.5 trillion. That's on top of $6 trillion that's been lost since 2006, the last 2 years of the Bush administration. So here we have a $6 trillion hole that Obama was trying to plug with an $800 billion stimulus package, and really only about $600 billion of it is actual spending, which would plug that hole. It's not going to work. And when it doesn't work, guess who's going to be pointing the finger at Barack Obama? The Republicans and the so-called centrists. More details after this.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hey, Valentine's Day is this Saturday. This is the last chance to get flowers in time for the big day. Order now for Valentine's Day or it won't be pretty. ProFlowers has a last-minute exclusive offer just for my radio listeners, but you don't have much time left before Valentine's Day, so listen up. You choose 1 dozen red roses in a free ruby red vase or 2 dozen assorted roses in a free clear glass vase. Plus, each bouquet comes with free truffles for just $29.99. Wow, that's over $30 in savings. An unbeatable deal right before Valentine's Day. Plus, ProFlowers roses are guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days. This is your last chance to get your roses and free vase and free truffles in time for Valentine's Day. Here's what I want you to do. Go to proflowers.com and find the radio microphone located in the upper right-hand corner. Click it and just type in my password, Hartman. That's proflowers.com, password Hartman. Or call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. That's 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. And don't forget to use my password, Hartman, with two N's. Don't wait. Order now.
The most progressive 3 hours of local radio you'll hear all day.
Elliott's Hardware has appealed to former President George W. Bush to spend his newfound retirement working as a part-time greeter.
We guarantee it.
Carl Wolfson and friends.
Can you tell me where the rakes are?
Weekday 6 to 9.
I'm disappointed. There are no rakes. It's not an error that the store has no rakes, but we are disappointed.
Carl Wolfson and friends. Weekday 6 to 9. AM 620 KPOJ.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch? This month at Floor Trends Northwest in Sellwood, when you schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, you also get a gift certificate good for lunch at either Hawthorne Fish House Southeast or Corbett Fish House Southwest. Now's the time to start planning for your spring home improvement projects. Schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, tile, hardwood, or carpet, by calling 503-236-8775 or visit floortrendsnw.com.
Hey, thought you were making breakfast.
I am, with McDonald's Breakfast Dollar Menu.
How is that making breakfast?
I'm mixing and matching, you know, putting breakfast together.
We're on a budget.
They're a dollar each. You know, I can't bake warm biscuits or sizzle sausage for that.
True.
I can't put real fruit in yogurt or make crispy hash browns for a buck.
You're so right.
Make your own morning and choose from 6 wallet-friendly favorites on McDonald's Breakfast Dollar Menu.
This was a brilliant idea.
Yeah, well, I do have my moments.
Breakfast served during breakfast hours only.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
My brother's roommate's friend sold it to me. A used SUV. They're safe, right? Right. Till the engine locks up in rush hour traffic. Turns out, the car was in a flood, and the Nimrod just dries it out and sells it to me. Without telling me. Who does that to someone else? They could have killed me.
Never buy a used car without Carfax.
Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go online. Who knows what it'll save you?
I'm pediatrician Dr. Bob Sears. Recent warnings advise against the use of cold medications for children due to serious side effects and data suggesting that they don't work. Now parents wonder what they can do to keep their kids healthy. My advice is not a drug. It's a natural dietary supplement not intended to treat disease but to optimize sinus and immune health. Sinupret for Kids has been Europe's sinus solution for 35 years due to its clinical trials, safety, and effectiveness. I trust Sinupret for Kids, and you will too. Learn more at sinupretforkids.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Say goodbye to your cigars and alcohol and burgers, fries, and cholesterol. No sugar for that coffee, you can't drink no more. Start laying off on all that salt you like to pour. And you can live to be 100. It's easy, I've been told. Just give up everything that makes you want to live to be that old.
What an irony. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. 21 minutes past the hour. Program brought to you in part by the Teamsters. Proud supporters of the Employee Free Choice Act. Teamster.org, the website. By the way, our telephone number, 866-303-2270. I see our lines are already full. We'll get to your calls just after the bottom of the hour. At TomHartman.com, our free live chat room, and for our best or Sean's favorite commentary on our blog today, we'll give away a copy of my book, Walking Your Blues Away, How to Heal the Mind and Create Emotional Well-Being. This is a not a political book at all, but it's I consider it a real breakthrough book. And also, our free web stream or our free video stream, you can pick up our free live video feed over at airamerica.com, as well as a blog there and messages there. So let's take a snapshot at what's going on. And again, summarizing some of the information that Bill Buckler put together in the Privateer, the-privateer.com is his website. And I don't know this guy's politics. I'm assuming he's probably conservative, but the data is what it is. Actually, he's out of Australia. Nearly one in four, he writes, U.S. manufacturing jobs have vanished since 2000, and 40,000 factories have closed since 98. The three largest U.S. railroads have said that between them they have put 107,000 rail cars in storage amid a deepening slump in freight. That's 17% of their combined fleet. U.S. exports in the fourth quarter fell 19%. Imports dropped 15.7%. Where we produce steel, Pennsylvania, Alabama, Ohio, Indiana, our factories are running at 45% of capacity, and almost half of the workforce, 40% of the workforce, about 25,000 people, on furlough. Now, it's not just the United States. Industrial output in Brazil fell 14.5% in December. China is out 20 million jobs. South Korean exports fell 32% over a year earlier. Their GDP fell 3.8%. And it's the highest in the world in terms of export-based. It's about half exports. Japan, a 9.6% month-to-month slide in industrial production just in December. South Korea, about the same. Japan's steel production down 28%. See, as Bill Buckler says, the world is not facing a deep recession, but a global depression. Now, here's the problem. As when you have a fractional reserve system, as most of the major countries of the world do, you have money that comes into being when money is loaned, and you have money that vanishes when loans are paid off or when people can't pay back those loans. And what we have, we are now in the process of seeing all that money vanish. And trying to use deficit spending to spend your way out of this, maybe. But if you've got a hole that's $6 trillion wide, you're not going to fill that hole with $300 or $400 or $800 billion worth of bubble gum. It ain't going to happen. especially when you get these crazed so-called centrists. I mean, here, Harry Reid paid $86 billion just to get the votes of Susan Collins and Arlen Specter. $86 billion. How have Wall Street's masters of the universe destroyed America? I'm going to get to that in a second. I just want to lay out, you know, what's going on around the world. The Bank of International Settlements. Talks about $2.5 trillion in net free savings that does not exist in the entire world. That's the amount of money we're going to have to borrow. Here's the bottom line. Because of Reaganomics, because of David Stockman's Starve the Beast, because of Grover Norquist and Arthur Laffer and Phil Graham and John McCain and all Arlen Specter and you know, this whole list of Republicans, Newt Gingrich, all these guys, because of their Starve the Beast theory, their drive government into bankruptcy theory, we are now in a position where if we even want to begin to fill this hole with any cash, we're going to have to borrow, and we're set to borrow, by the way. We borrowed about $250 billion in the last quarter. We're going to borrow about $250 billion in this quarter. This is still the Bush budget. And when you toss on top of that the stimulus package that Obama's coming up with, we're going to need to borrow $2.5 trillion. There's not that much money floating around in the world available to buy U.S. treasuries. China could maybe, or the Asian countries broadly led by China, could maybe do it for a year. They can't do it for 2 years. So what are they going to do? They're facing a terrible crisis. These countries in the Far East, they're facing a terrible crisis. If they fund the United States' debt for another year, then next year they won't be able to, and the bottom will fall out. If they let the bottom fall out now, they're going to go down with us. So what are they going to do? Over the next year, they're going to start moving away from dollars as fast as they can. And how are they going to do that? They're going to start buying. They're going to spend those dollars in the United States, buying our real estate, buying our companies. They're going to end up owning us. And then when the bottom falls out, it's their country.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Past the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. By the way, just a quick update. Radio Row, CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference. I'll be in Washington, D.C. February 26, 27. A week later in March 7th, Louise and I will be doing the one-day cruise with Talk 10 with the folks at Talk 1090 in Seattle. It's a three-hour cruise. Yep, you can get information about that at am1090seattle.com. On March 19th, Thursday, I'll be in Chicago debating Michael Medved. This is sponsored by chicagosprogressivetalk.com. Go to chicagosprogressivetalk.com. Need to put an S in there, Sean. It's S is in plural, Chicago's. And on Saturday, May 2nd, I'll be in Denver, Colorado for the Green Festival. I'm one of the keynote speakers. Information there, greenfestivals.org/Denver. Hot time for our Ann Coulter alert. Yeah, Connecticut Election Officials Enforcement Commission is undertaking a thorough investigation of right-wing pundit Ann Coulter for potentially breaking the law by voting in Connecticut while living in New York City, according to a commission spokesperson. Officials are responding to a formal complaint filed by CoulterWatch.com blogger Dan Borchers. As Borchers wrote, for over 10 years, Ann Coulter has gotten away with illegal, immoral, and unethical behavior ranging from plagiarism to defamation, perjury, to voter fraud. End of quote from Mr. Borchers. So we'll see where this goes. Okay, now, here's, as I was saying, our economy is going in the tank so fast What is China to do? If they loan us money now, a year from now, we're going to need that. We're going to need even more because it's going to take a couple of years to get out of this. They don't have it. The rest of the world doesn't have it. The price of oil isn't high. The oil-producing countries, they're, you know, Doha and other countries, Saudi Arabia, they're all cutting back on the construction projects. They're freaking out. What are they doing? Well, one, what do you do when you're sitting on trillions of dollars and it looks like the U.S. economy is about to go plunging headlong into something maybe even worse than the Great Depression of the 1930s? What do you do with those dollars? Spend them in America. As Bill points out in The Privateer, in Hong Kong, an enterprising local real estate group teamed up with a local travel agency and offered a trip to California to look at U.S. houses in foreclosure. They had expected 40 to 50 people to be interested. They got 14,000 serious inquiries. They had to shut it down because the company was too small to handle it. He says, you know, China right now could make a serious bid to buy California for cash. Why loan us the money when they can simply buy us? We are witnessing the death of the American empire. We have had three bubbles burst so far. We've had the dot-com bubble. We've had the housing bubble. We're about to see the Treasury bubble burst. When that one goes, it's going to be the ugliest of all of them. And this, tracking back to this thing, go back to 1908, September 2nd, 1908. I have the New York Times here from 1908, and the headline, "No Bucket Shops for New Law to Hit." There were no arrests yesterday for violations of the anti-bucket shop law the first day of its operation because there were no bucket shops left. Bucket shops were these things that operated, well, as they say in the article, the Cassidy Law, this is the law that made bucket shops illegal in New York State in 1908. The Cassidy Law is modeled on legislation which successfully killed the bucket shop industry in Massachusetts and Ohio, both of which states were former strongholds of the evil, and it is expected to be equally successful here. The new law makes it a felony to operate a bucket shop or in any way be connected with one, and the punishment is a fine of $5,000 or imprisonment for 5 years or both. Now, what bucket shops were stock operations. For the average person wants to buy stock. They couldn't go to the stock exchange and buy stock because that was for the big players. So these local guys, they'd buy some stock, and they'd set up a bucket shop. And they'd say, okay, I've got 5,000 shares of General Motors here. You want to buy some of it? And people would come in and they'd buy, in some cases on a 99% margin, leverage like crazy. And then the bucket shop operators, if all the local people were betting that the stock would go up, they'd sell the stock and make the stock go down. If everybody was betting that the stock would go down, they'd buy more stock and make the stock go up. And they cleaned people out. They wiped out America. So in 1908, legislation, 1907, legislation was passed in states all across the United States. And in 1908, it was passed in the United States, making bucket shops illegal. Brilliant piece by James Lieber in The Village Voice, laying out how that anti-bucket shop law of 1908 was repealed in the last years of the Clinton administration, signed by Bill Clinton, pushed by the Republicans, that allowed then the mortgage industry to behave like bucket shops. And that, in part, that in addition to Bill Seidman's creating these collateralized debt obligations, these CDOs that got sold all over the planet, is what led to 600, according to the Bank of International Settlements, between 600 and $1,000 trillion worth of basically phony securities all over the world, a time bomb, a hand grenade with a pin pulled that's been rolled right at us, frankly, at the world economy. And the world is freaked out. So what do we do? Nobody is really sure. One thing that you don't do, though, is you don't compromise with the people who created this, which is the Republicans and the centrists. Obama has a good start in trying to fill this hole. But you're not, as Paul Krugman is pointing out in today's New York Times, and I'm telling you, I've talked to a couple of politicians who are saying off the record what they're being told by the CBO and in the back offices is that hell hath no wrath. You have no idea what's coming. And they're afraid to talk about it out in public. And yet still the Republicans are playing politics with this. 866-303-2270 is our telephone number. Jimmy, in Miami. Hey, Jimmy, what's up?
How you doing, Tom? I'm an avid listener to your show.
Thank you. What's up?
Yes. Yeah, I want to talk about the stimulus package, the Obama stimulus package. She's getting a lot of criticism.
Mm-hmm.
First, I'd like to say that, you know, I feel really bad for Obama. I mean, he's got a really tough job ahead of him. The economy is pretty much in crisis. But I do kind of agree to some extent with the Republicans. As far as, you know, them being very concerned, I don't know if they're really concerned, but their main objection is that there's nothing in the bill that really helps out the foreclosure crisis. To give you an example, right now the banks, for those who are in foreclosure, they do what is called a loan modification. But in order to do a loan modification, the banks make it so tough for people to qualify that they end up losing their homes. How come there's no Obama should really step in and, you know, have everybody modify their loans?
He should, Jimmy, and it should be a separate piece of legislation. This is a jobs bill. This is not a let's save people's homes bill. And although there are provisions for this bill, but you know, the Republicans don't give a damn about people's homes. If they did, they wouldn't have let Phil Graham push through the end of Glass-Steagall in the first place. They wouldn't have been promoting this thing all along. The blame for this disaster is right at the feet of the Republicans and the conservative Democrats. Pure and simple. The Republicans don't give a damn about the average working person. It's always been that way. And that's why they have to bring in the fringes of the Christian right and you know, gun owners and whatnot. They're bringing in people, single-issue voters, anti-abortion people, the gun owners and whatnot, bringing in single-issue voters and saying, oh, we're all about you, because they got nothing for the average working person. But the bottom line is, this is and you know, I'll be the first to say, and I've been saying it from day one, Obama, you know, at first I thought maybe this is brilliant politics. He's reaching across the aisle and being a nice guy. Now I'm looking back on it and thinking, big mistake. Big mistake. He should have been doing what Franklin Roosevelt was doing from the get-go. He should have been taking names and kicking butt. He should have been calling these guys out. And now, hopefully, he's going to start doing it. Andre in Washington, D.C. Hey, Andre, what's up?
Tom, good afternoon. Hopefully you can explain this to me. You know, like you, I'm very perplexed about this whole stimulus package. I mean, it seems as though the Republicans got what they wanted. They watered it down. They're not going to vote for it. So it seems like a lose-lose situation. I guess my question is, and you can kind of help me out with how our U.S. government works. When this bill, I guess, gets approved or voted on today, it's going to go back, and now the House folks and the Senate are going to go back and renegotiate. What are the chances are some of these watered down things that were taken out of the Senate's bill, or taken out of rather the House bill, be placed back into that bill?
The odds are fairly high, actually, Andre. And that's called, it goes to conference. What they've got to do is reconcile the two pieces of legislation, because they're different, and come up with one that both bodies can agree with. And it may be that the only two conferees are going to be Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, because this is happening at such a high level and it has to happen so fast, although frankly I doubt it. But the bottom line is that in all probability some stuff will be put back in. But this bill is nowhere close to what is going to be needed over the short term, and over the long term, it's not even a beginning. And the biggest problem that these guys have, the biggest problem that we have as Americans, the biggest problem that the world has, is that Bush and Clinton with his free trade policies, and Bush before him and Reagan before him, running up $10 trillion in debt, have left the United States so far in debt and so competitive in the world markets for credit that it's going to be really, really hard to borrow the money, to borrow our way out of this.
Tom, can I ask you this?
Very quickly.
Yeah, what would you like to see added in this bill by Friday? What is something that if they were added back,
I would strip all the tax cuts out of it and say it's not a tax cut bill at all. It's a jobs bill. We're going to put people to work. We're going to put people to work in ways that immediately create income and that immediately create value, that immediately stimulate the economy. Let's have a separate middle-class tax cut, and then let's have a separate program to help middle-class homeowners.
Watch live video of the Tom Hartman Program at HartmanRadio.com.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Tom Hartman here. Hey, guys, do you know the symptoms of an enlarged prostate? Like it or not, you probably will, because eventually it's going to happen to most of us as we get older. If you're urinating more frequently, especially if you're waking up two, maybe three times a night to go to the bathroom, that's the first sign.
Second sign might be burning, pain, or even problems in the bedroom. This is not just an old man's concern. It happens to American men more often than in other countries and can occur as young as 30. So don't ignore the symptoms. Get checkups from your doctor and order your risk-free bottle of Beta Prostate to support healthy prostate functioning. Every man should take Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate will help keep your prostate healthy, and it's a natural alternative. You don't need a prescription for it. Call now and order Beta Prostate risk-free. Dial 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803. Don't put this call off till tomorrow. Call today, 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
Ed Schultz.
The landscape of talk in this country, in my opinion, is changing somewhat.
Noon to 3.
It's becoming, okay, what's the issue? Here's what we know. Nobody's got any money, and nobody's paying their taxes. Those are two things we know that's happening out there that we can talk about.
He's Big Eddie. The Ed Schultz Show.
Now, what side of the aisle are you on? It doesn't matter.
Noon to 3.
Look, you're either paying or you're not paying. You know, you either got money or you don't.
AM 620 KPOJ. Online, 620KPOJ.com.
Hi, it's Ryan Tedder from OneRepublic. This fall, we are headlining Tag This Tour 2008. Check out our website, onerepublic.net, for details on how you can bid on exclusive packages to our upcoming tour. The best part is, you'll be helping to save lives. All of the proceeds from these auctions will benefit the City of Hope. City of Hope aims to serve cancer patients with the latest research, treatment, compassion, and dignity. Join us in the mission to find a cure for cancer. Visit www.onerepublic.net for tour dates and information.
In the next minute, I'm going to challenge you to believe it or leave it. How? I'm going to show you how you can get a brand new top brand laptop free. Just log on to freelaptopchallenge.com. Of course, a lot of you won't believe me, and I guess unfortunately you'll forget this ad and miss out. But there are listeners who'll give it a try and log on to freelaptopchallenge.com, and yes, they will be able to get a brand new laptop free. See, thousands of people have received free laptops online, and now you can too. It all works because companies got smart. Instead of blowing their budgets on expensive TV ads, they now give away stuff online. So what are you going to do? Ignore this ad? Or log on to freelaptopchallenge.com and get yourself a top brand, top quality laptop for free. Even if you don't have access to a computer right now, this offer is available all day. So write this down. Freelaptopchallenge.com. I'm telling you, it really is that easy. Who wouldn't want a free laptop? Go on, I challenge you. Log on to freelaptopchallenge.com and check out all the details. Freelaptopchallenge.com.
Wouldn't you love to be a lucky parent who's proud of their child's grades? Well, now you can turn poor grades around to A's, even when they're failing. Call right now for a free copy of the Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call 1-888-502-4917.
Hello, I'm Dan Bassmajan. During my 20 years as an educator, the kids with failing grades were sent to me. I discovered that bad grades don't come from bad or lazy kids. They come from kids who are overwhelmed by everything they have to learn. That's why I created The Simple Way to an A. This system shows kids how to learn and how to ace every test. It's so easy, your teenager will earn better grades in 30 days guaranteed and become the happy, confident kid you know they can be.
For a limited time, Dan is offering all parents a free copy of his Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call now so we can send them to you absolutely free. Call 888-502-4917. That's 888-502-4917. Once again, that's 888-502-4917.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I think I said something like it's time I go, and I give her one last kiss, and that's all I know. That's all I know for sure. Now it's in the songs I sing, it's the price I pay. There's no such thing as a clean getaway.
Defending America from the weapons of mass deception. Tom Hartman here with you. Well, you remember that dream job I told you about last week in Australia? They've got an island and they want somebody to just sit there for a year and blog about how wonderful it is to encourage tourism. They got 11,000 job applicants. It's a web-based job application. You can probably track it down. $150,000 Australian dollars annual salary for the what's called the best job in the world, sitting on Hamilton Island in the Great Barrier Reef.
Among the people who applied, some guy named Osama bin Laden, who says that he is outgoing, familiar with sandy areas, and experienced in large-scale event coordination. He lists his interests as arts, crafts, and renovating. The Australian officials say unlikely they are going to choose him. Gee, what a surprise. I'm shocked.
Shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Yes, yes. By the way, John Kerry, speaking apropos of our caller a few moments ago who was saying, you know, what about housing in this bill? It's not like the Democrats haven't tried to address the housing issue, and John Kerry finally had enough of it yesterday, and here's John Kerry going off on this brilliantly.
To the senator from Tennessee who's been talking about housing, you got to stop the housing slide first. Let me say to him respectfully, I sat in the White House a year ago with Secretary Paulson, President Bush, Vice President Cheney, and I was the only person in the room who said, Mr. President, if you're going to do a stimulus now, you ought to put housing into this package. And I turned to the secretary and I said, Mr. Secretary, you could be negotiating right now to keep people in their homes at a fixed mortgage rate and a new valuation, and you should do it. And their heads nodded, and they said, sounds like a good idea. Gordon Smith and I came back up here to the Senate, and we put in a $15 billion provision in the Finance Committee. It passed the Finance Committee 20-1. It came to the floor of the Senate, and guess what? The very people who are here on the floor now saying we got to do housing stripped it out of that provision. The president and the administration opposed it. And for 9 months, they sat there while 10,000 homes a day were being foreclosed, and they allowed us to slide into where we are today. So when I hear my colleagues come and say we got to fix housing now, they are about 10 months, a year late on that effort, and they have created, because of their indifference a year ago, a situation where it's out of control.
And so the Republicans going, oh, you know, here, we've got all kinds of problems with this bill. You know, not enough housing stuff. Well, yeah, right. Come on. Give me a break. Give me a break. Dave in Buffalo, New York. Hey, Dave, what's on your mind?
Thanks, Tom. Does raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, is that still a good idea around that?
Yes.
Because
it would provide a stimulus, Dave, because people earning the minimum wage spend 100% of their money. So that money instantly goes into the economy.
A good idea, then?
Yes, in my humble opinion.
Thank you. That for decades now, the red states have been given of federal dollars $1.10, and the blue states have been given 90 cents
on average.
So we've been underfunded, even in Western New York, and I'm not looking a gift horse in the mouth, with funding. And I thank for every dollar we get. But by the same token, there's been a distressed 10% disparity. And when Barack Obama, for leverage and looking at our future as far as offering what goes forward, we can say, you know, if you say no to us or lessen the bill, the states that haven't the senators or we have no support don't get the funding or lose at least something and because we could use that extra 10, 20, 50, 60.
Yeah, that was my point. You know, Coburn and Inhofe from Oklahoma are both opposed to this thing. Fine, Oklahoma doesn't get any money. You know, the only problem is that Oklahoma is the home to, I mean, the word used to mean something like, you know, refuge. It was the place where Native Americans were stuck, you know, when they were relocated back in the day. And
I don't want to defund them, though.
Right. A lot of people are going to get hurt. It's nice to talk about. I mean, because it illustrates the problem. And in fact, if somebody put forward a piece of legislation that would illustrate the problem, that would say, okay, any state that has two senators that vote against this stimulus legislation gets no dollars from it. That legislation would go nowhere, but it would make a lot of news. And it would point out to people, like in particularly, for example, in Arizona, that they've got two senators who are working against the interest of everybody in that state whose net worth is under about $5 million. And I think that should be pointed out. Marilyn in Florida. Hey, Marilyn.
Hi, Tom. Thank you. I want you to know that I post your link on the Obama site every day
so people could
listen to you.
Thank you.
We have a movement going on 3 weeks from today, nationwide, worldwide. We are having what we call Operation Enough Day. Mm-hmm. We're going to take signs. The only rule is the sign has to have the word enough, like enough tax cuts, not enough jobs. We are going to go peacefully outside our government buildings, mayor's buildings, everywhere. We have people in Germany, UK, Australia. This is going to be a worldwide event.
That's great. I'm assuming stepping off of when Obama during the campaign or during his inauguration, he said enough.
Enough.
Yeah.
And I want to give you, if it's okay, an email address for people to go to get updates if they want to participate. I mean, we have them in Key West, in Maine, as I said, Germany.
We have about 25 seconds, Marilyn, if it's a quickie and a short one.
enough2009@yahoo.com.
Okay, enough2009@yahoo.com if you want more information about Operation Enough, which is going to be happening all over the
sign has to have the word enough in it.
Right. Enough2009@yahoo.com. Yeah, Marilyn, this is not an official Obama thing.
No, we're doing this just like we did our grassroots stuff on our own.
Yeah, well, that's
great.
But
we're working through the Obama, my Barack Obama website.
Uh-huh.
So people can go there and get updates or email that address.
That's great.
That's our chairman, Reggie, in Germany.
Yeah, marvelous. Marilyn, thank you very much for the call and for what you're doing. And, you know, that's grassroots efforts. Are the things this country, we had the panic in 1907 caused by the bucket shops. We closed that loophole. Bill Clinton opened that loophole again. We had the panic in the Great Depression in 1929. We closed that loophole with Glass-Steagall. Phil Graham and Bill Clinton opened that loophole again. We have, you know, we have recovered from these things in the past. We can recover again. We just have to get it right.
Thanks for listening to the AM620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club. Providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide. 9 to noon, AM620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. You are second hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Carrie Lucas on the line with us. She's the Vice President of Policy and Economics at the Independent Women's Forum, IWF.org. Hey, Carrie, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's always a pleasure, Carrie. The Wall Street Journal on Friday, and I think you were the one who alerted us to this op-ed piece, New Lead Rules Hit Next Tuesday. Whammo! The runaway train that is the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act, et cetera. Bottom line, as of tomorrow, stores are going to have to remove from their shelves toys for kids that have lead in them. The Wall Street Journal saying this is a terrible thing. I would think that as a parent and as a parent-to-be, you would be offended by the Wall Street Journal saying such a thing.
No, I think that, of course, we all want our toys to be safe, and we appreciate some of the protections we have out there. But a lot of this stuff ends up going really extreme. And often what happens is we have a real scare tactic or a big outcry that turns out to be largely based on nothing or based on real hysteria and bad information. And it can really be a cost on business.
But, Carrie, if there's no lead in the toys, they don't take them off the shelves. There's no problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I think that this is all a matter of degree. I just think that, obviously, we don't want our kids eating lead. We don't want them people having contaminated food. But I think it's just really important to make sure that regulations make sense. You know, we've seen a lot of times parents who become overly alarmed or have something hit the media and then end up overreacting in ways that become almost counterproductive. You know, this happened with, I think a good example of that dynamic is the mercury in fish thing. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but pregnant women were told.
There seems to be some kind of, to take that as an example, there seems to be some sort of an association between mercury, perhaps some genetic vulnerability, mercury perhaps to Marisol in vaccines, perhaps mercury in fish, but mercury in autism. 30 years ago, 1 in 20,000 kids, as I recall, was born autistic. Now it's something like 1 in 200. I mean, we do have some real serious environmental problems here. And, yes, there's been an increase in the ability to diagnose this, but how about a compromise? What if we were to say, okay, we want to stimulate the economy. We don't want to put mom-and-pop toy shops out of business. How about instead of saying, if there's lead in the toys on your shelves, you have to take them out in the dumpster out back and throw them away. We were to say, if there's lead in the toys on your shelves, the government will buy them from you at retail price. So the businesses actually make a profit as if they sold them at retail. The lead-laced toys get out of the way. It's part of the economic stimulus package, and life goes on. What do you think?
At this point, why not just throw in billions of dollars to buy things off of people's shelves and have them thrown away? I mean, there is somebody, it sounds like that's a perfect example of thinking that it's costless and just doesn't matter what we end up doing with the money or how the money is spent. We can, you know, have people rake up leaves and then just kick them over again. And as long as we're handing out money, that's a stimulus.
But the fact of the matter is, Carrie, we've had a couple hundred thousand stores have closed in the last couple of years. We're looking at the possibility of another 100,000 stores closing this year. I mean, the retail sector, we could see as much as a third of the U.S. retail sector gone within a year and a half compared to 2006, 2007. We're looking at the Great Depression.
Absolutely, and this is real serious stuff. But having the taxpayer, having the government go into massive additional debt in order to give a one-time, you know, buy the worthless items off of your shelves and throw them and have the government throw them away, that's not going to change the bottom line for businesses over the long term. That's a real temporary influx of cash, and there's a lot of unintended consequences to that. So I do think that we need government to be making sensible decisions and trying to get a better business climate, but simply throwing money at retailers.
So when Reagan ran us, when Reagan ran up a $3 trillion debt, when he spent $3 trillion more than he brought in, because let's just be honest between the two of us here, there has not been a tax cut since Reagan came into office. There have only been tax deferrals. And even what these people, even what the Democrats are calling tax cuts right now, they're not tax cuts. Because there's not enough revenue coming in right now. Our children and grandchildren are going to have to pay those taxes because they're continuing to spend that money. So Reagan runs up a $3 trillion debt. Bush Sr. runs up $1 trillion debt. Clinton runs up almost a $1 trillion debt. Bush Jr. adds another $4 trillion to that debt. What part of that, you're so opposed to running up $1 trillion debt to stimulate the economy and put people, working people who are out of a job back to work and to protect small businesses that may be stuck with lead toys on their shelves. What part of the $9 trillion, you know, spending spree that preceded it was useful or good? And why would you defend that and not this?
Well, you know, I wouldn't defend a lot of the spending that's gone on especially under the recent President Bush. I think a lot of it was absolutely wasteful and unnecessary and incredibly
damaging. Why weren't you guys calling him out?
A lot of people were, and we were definitely, we were against the Medicare prescription drug bill. We've been talking about the problem with runaway spending we were talking about that for much of the last 8 years. There was, definitely the Republicans have share a lot of the blame for getting us into deficits. But I do think it's important when we talk about what we're spending money on, it does matter whether or not you're spending money on buying a bunch of stuff to throw away versus letting people keep money and having them start their own businesses or put the money in the bank so the bank can loan to somebody else.
Well, I would prefer to, instead of calling it buying stuff to throw away, although that's what it is, I would prefer to call it paying to dispose of toxic waste, because toys that contain lead are toxic waste.
Yeah, I mean, and there does.
And somebody's
got to
bear the burden of disposing of that stuff. I think that business should. Business cut the deal with the devil in China, basically, to import this stuff. But it was set up. The structure for it was set up by both Democrats and Republicans, largely during the Bush Sr. and the Clinton administrations, with their embrace of so-called free trade.
Well, Well, but I do think, I do think that there are consequences to business decisions. And when you decide to go for rock bottom prices, you can expect you've got a more of a hazard problem. So there is, you know, that is one of the things about buying American, where I'm by no means a protectionist and I'm all for free trade. But I do think that businesses have to bear the consequences of their decisions of who their trading partners are, who they do businesses with. And, you know,
Why are you all for free trade?
Gosh, it's hard. I feel like it's so, the case for free trade is so overwhelming that it's hard for me to conceive of how somebody is against free trade.
Well, for example, from 1791 up until 1980, the average tariff in the United States was around 30%. We did not have free trade. We had Buy America. We had American content provisions. China still does. Japan still does. South Korea still does. Most of the European nations still do. We don't anymore. For the last 30 years, we've been experimenting with free trade, and I would submit to you it has devastated our economy. We've lost almost half of our industrial manufacturing jobs. It's ruined our country. I don't see where, you know, how you can say that there's a case to be made for free trade. Make it.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting because I think that when we think about the benefits of trade, we all recognize that you are better off when you can shop from five different stores versus one store. And when we think about the world, you think about all of the different products that you just can't get, that you know, America can't produce, the fruits and vegetables and flowers that we import from around the world that would be much lower quality.
Yeah, Ricardo argument in favor of free trade, and I agree with that. The idea of the theory of comparative advantage, but there are also and I don't want the U.S. to compete with Thailand on sandalwood imports, for example, but. Why should we compete on steel? Why should we compete on manufacturing computers or making socks and blue jeans when we can do that here in the United States just as well?
Because there is a comparative. If we can do it just as well, then we're going to do it just as well, and we're going to we've got the benefit of proximity.
Our labor costs
and lower
are
transportation
higher, though.
Costs. But sure. Well, therefore there's a comparative advantage. And and I think that one of the things that we have learned is that when businesses shut down or
but Ricardo said that labor is the one thing that should be excluded from comparative advantage.
I think that if you have more people willing to work for less, then that's a comparative advantage. We have a tremendous.
So the American worker should. We got 6 billion people in the world who are living on less than a dollar a day. Every American worker should compete for a dollar a day.
No, every American, we have a tremendous advantage because we're the most educated country in the entire world. So that is our comparative advantage when it comes to labor, and we should absolutely exploit that.
Well, it sounds nice. It sounds nice. People can read all about it over at IWF.org, the Independent Women's Forum. Carrie Lucas. Carrie, it's always fun talking with you. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much.
Always interesting as well. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Experience it and win with Tempur-Pedic. If you've been waiting for the absolute best time to try a life-changing Tempur-Pedic Swedish sleep system, this is it. Visit a participating retail store today and get your game piece for a chance to win $10,000 just for trying a Tempur-Pedic mattress. Simply call, click, or visit a participating retailer near you today to find out how. Call 1-800-433-2720 or visit Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. That's 1-800-433-2720 or Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. For official rules, go to www.experienceitandwin.com. Contest ends 3809. Offer void where prohibited.
Barack Obama has chosen his top personnel. Now, what should be his top policies? Change for America is the first book with a comprehensive blueprint for President Obama to reset policy on the economy, healthcare, and foreign affairs. Edited by Air America President Mark Green, it describes a new progressive patriotism based on more democracy, diplomacy, and green-collar jobs. President Clinton calls it insightful, while Senator Kennedy concludes it's a brilliant roadmap for the 44th president. Change for America, available at bookstores everywhere.
taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
What is wrong with this man, Michael Steele?
Randy Rhodes.
First of all, he told congressional Republicans the goose egg that you laid on the president's desk was just beautiful. And then he attacked Democrats for being the obstructionist.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
And the only thing worse than stupidity is being proud of your stupidity.
3 to 6.
And the only thing worse than being proud about your stupidity is being proud and hypocritical about your stupidity.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
This is the Mortgage Moment, and I'm here with Hayes Barnard, owner of Paramount Equity Mortgage. Hayes, the economy's a mess. Do you have any positive financial news?
Definitely. Thanks to Uncle Sam's bold action, mortgage rates have just taken an abrupt nosedive. As low as, are you ready for this?
What?
5% flat, with an APR of 5.25. These are the lowest rates we've seen in 50 years.
Yeah, but will this really kickstart the economy?
The Fed didn't mince words. Their explicit goal is to push mortgage rates down to a level that stimulates home buying and refinancing activity.
So who will this truly help?
Listen, virtually every homeowner can save money with rates as low as 5% and an APR of 5.25. So pull the trigger and lock in right now, because these rates could be gone in the blink of an eye. At a time when you need it most, Paramount Equity is still committed to saving our neighbors money. So make one simple call to 718-1000 today. 503-718-1000.
License number ML3256.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states.
Tired of credit card debt with high rates and high monthly payments? There's powerful free information credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to show you how to settle your credit card debt with low monthly payments you can afford. Call 1-800-400-7083. That's 1-800-400-7083. 1-800-400-7083.
Hi, this is Jim McCann. This Valentine's, give her something to talk about.
Now through Thursday, 1-800-Flowers.com. is offering 18 long-stem multicolored roses, plus a beautiful Valentine vase and a box of gourmet chocolates, all for only $29.99. Just click on the radio icon to get this offer. Surprise her at work or home with flowers that will last all week, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Valentine's is coming up, so call or visit 1-800-Flowers.com today.
Pick the best. We always do.
Now, recycle any brand of ink or toner cartridge at Staples and get $3 back in Staples Rewards. Recycling limit of 10 per calendar month per customer. Limit one Staples Rewards account per address. Visit StaplesRewards.com for full details.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Store Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at BeavertonLodge.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
That's why that I'm important to that man. Hard times, hard times. Knocking, 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 knocking on my door. Hard times, hard times. But I don't
21 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. You've probably been reading, hearing, whatever, about the story of Binyam Mohammed, this former UK asylum seeker. He was admitted into the UK as an asylum seeker in 1994. He's an Ethiopian. And then he was picked up in Pakistan in 2002 on suspicion of involvement with terrorism, and where he was rendered to Morocco and Afghanistan, tortured, and then sent to Guantanamo Bay in 2004. He's still in Guantanamo Bay, although last year all terror charges were dropped against him. The details are coming out now. This in the Telegraph, the British newspaper. Now, it turns out, by the way, that the reason all this has been covered up, or it certainly looks like the reason all this has been covered up, is the Bush administration and the Blair administration were collaborating in the torture of this guy. The 25 lines edited out of the court papers, I'm quoting from thetelegraph.co.uk, contain details of how Mr. Mohammed's genitals were sliced with a scalpel and other torture methods so extreme that waterboarding, the controversial technique of simulated drowning, quote, is very far down the list of things they did, end quote, the official said. Another source familiar with the case said British intelligence officers knew about the torture and didn't do anything about it. They supplied information to the Americans and the Moroccans. There's evidence of all that. So what did this guy do that got him in Guantanamo Bay, got his scrotum or something, his genitals sliced with a scalpel, among other things, being waterboarded and tortured? What happened? Well, it turns out that he visited a website called How to Build an H-Bomb that was put up on a satirical site. It was put up by Barbara Ehrenreich, the food editor for this satirical magazine. I'm assuming it was The Onion. Maybe it was Rolling Stone. Rolling Stone journalist Peter Biskind and scientist Michio Kaku. It tells how to make an H-bomb. Here's what you do. The prospective bomb maker is instructed to transform uranium gas into liquid by subjecting it to pressure. Quote, you can use a bicycle pump for this. The instructions continue. Then make a simple home centrifuge. Fill a standard-sized bucket, 1/4 full of uranium, liquid uranium hexafluoride. Attach a 6-foot rope to the bucket handle. Now swing the rope and attach the bucket around your head as fast as possible. Keep this up for 45 minutes. It was a joke site. The guy visited a joke site. And we saw, and they went to Dick Cheney and said, this guy visited a website called How to Build an H-Bomb. Boom! He's off in Morocco being electric shocked and tortured. And on it goes. And now everybody's trying to cover it up. But the stuff, it's starting to leak out because Blair's out of office and Bush is out of office. What kind of national karma do we have for this kind of stuff? How do we make right this kind of thing? I mean, this is absolutely mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. I want to get back also to the one other aspect of this whole economic debacle. First of all, I only shared with you the whole, you know, bigger picture of what's going on worldwide. And, you know, the whole thing of the Bank of International Settlements and $600 trillion worth of derivatives and all. I shared with you maybe 10% of the information that's out there. I have dug into that in some detail on this show in the past, and we will continue revisiting it over and over and over again in these little slices, because to do the whole thing, it would just take a couple of hours, and it gets so intense. But just so you understand how big and how awful this problem is. And what caused it, the whole economic problem, what caused this thing is very simple. It's the exact same thing that caused the Panic of 1907. It's the exact same thing that caused the Republican Great Depression of 1929-1930. And that is deregulation of financial markets. Brought to you courtesy of the Republicans in Congress in 1998 and 2000, signed into law by Bill Clinton, Phil Graham and his buddies, and going all the way back to Ronald Reagan, an ideology that started with Reagan and Norquist and Stockman and the whole bunch of them. Newt Gingrich, right at the front. So here in Portland, this is where it comes home. This is from the Oregonian, our local newspaper here in Portland. Shortly after Eric Ayala, was diagnosed with schizophrenia in high school, the Salem-Keizer School District tried to get him coverage under the Oregon Health Plan so his family could pay for his medication. The state denied the request because the family was unable to provide proof of residency. 9 years later, Ayala didn't have a problem presenting an alien resident card and the required proof of residency, utility bills that showed he lived in Oregon for 90 days, to buy a 9mm handgun. He used the gun to take his own life after firing on a downtown Portland crowd January 24th, killing 2 teenage girls and wounding 7 other people. His documents weren't good enough to get health care. He couldn't get his medication. Oh, no, we got to look out for that. But they were just fine to buy a handgun. Well, we can't look out for that after all. We've got the Second Amendment, right? What about life? Liberty and the pursuit of happiness, right there in the Declaration of Independence. What about the general welfare, right there in the preamble to the Constitution? Don't they kind of trump the Second Amendment occasionally? Or at least have parity with it?
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2222.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Helping you win the water cooler wars, Tom Hartman here with you. Oh, the cons are at it again. Go over to rnc.org, the official website of the Republican National Committee, and they still have the stars upside down. You know, the American stars, the stars in the American flag, they're upside down. Yep. Have been ever since Bush became president. I thought when he left, they would say, okay, you know, Satan's gone. We can flip the stars right side back up again, you know, because the Satan worshipers flip the five-pointed star upside down to represent the goat's head rather than the Da Vinci, you know, five-pointed, you know, head and arms and legs. But nonetheless, they've got that. But also they have a link at the RNC website. Now, keep in mind, for years and years, they've been saying, oh, the right-wing talk radio, it's not an unofficial arm of the Republican Party. It's got nothing to do with us. Well, Michael Steele has now put up a web page. It says, call talk radio. It's on the Action Center. Look up talk shows, all the national shows, and there they are. All of them, you know, Dr. Laura, Glenn Beck, Michael Savage, Sean Hannity, Dennis Prager, Larry Elder, Laura Ingraham, bloody, blah. Hey, I see Rusty Humphries is on here. Rusty went to Africa with us, with Jack Rice and me and Ellen Ratner when we went to Darfur. And he's actually a decent human being. I like Rusty a lot as a person. I mean, I politically disagree with him on just about everything. But we used to sit and that week that we were in the middle of nowhere on the edge of Darfur, we'd sit around a campfire and talk long into the evenings. Rusty's a good guy. But the rest of them, anyway, it's all over there at the RNC website. Very entertaining. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. John in Jacksonville, Florida. Hey, John, what's on your mind?
Hey there. Well, I just want to say that until the Congress and the White House step up and slay the dragon, that you can have all the stimulus packages in the world, it'll just be a bottomless pit. And that's the oil companies. You know, Tom, it only takes one process to make diesel, yet it's almost twice the price of regular gas.
Yeah, I know. And it's because it's a monopoly.
In. Yeah, and until that gets reined in and they stop that stuff, until the Congress and the White House, the President, when he came here to campaign in Jacksonville, he said he was going to deal with the oil companies.
Yeah.
And I don't hear any of that rhetoric. So,
you know,
all
John,
of the stuff he said is rhetoric until he acts on it, you know.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, John. We used to fight wars over salt. Literally. People used to fight wars over salt. All over the world, people used to fight wars over salt because salt was a strategic resource because before refrigeration, salt, packing things in salt, was the most effective and in many cases the only, in many climates, only way to preserve meat or fish. And people literally fought wars over salt. And then came refrigeration, and salt is no longer a strategic resource and nobody fights a war over it. The only reason that oil is a strategic resource, the only reason anybody's willing to fight a war over oil, the only reason that Dick Cheney would care...
Iraq sits on top of 10% of the world's oil reserves. Very significant reserve, second only to Saudi Arabia.
The only reason that that even matters is because we use oil for transportation. 98% of the transportation in the United States is fueled by oil. We only generate about 3% of our electricity from oil, but most of our transportation is oil. And so if you want the Saudis, if you want to stop exporting $700-800 billion a year in order to buy oil, and if you want the Saudis to stop taking our dollars and giving them to Wahhabist schools that teach that Americans are Satan and Jews are worse than that. If you want to put an end to that, put an end to oil as a transportation, as the primary driver of transportation in the United States. Let's go to electricity. And if you're going to do something that big and that massive, when you've got a $1 trillion oil industry that is fighting every step of the way, they're even denying global warming. Forget about just, you know, taking on things like an electric car and things. The only way to do that is to get us engaged, we the people. It's going to take serious government action. We have plenty of electricity in this country. We can produce mind-boggling amounts of electricity. The Mojave Desert, we could fill it with solar panels. We've got, you know, all the mountains across the Midwest. We could put windmills in there. And by the way, this whole thing of let's come up with a smart grid, let's upgrade our electrical grid, nonsense. Let's produce local electricity. Let's make every community locally independent. Pretty much anywhere you are in the United States, there is some source that can be used for electricity, whether it's wind, whether it's geothermal, whether it's trash, whether it's wood pulp, whether it's solar, or a combination of all of the above. Let's make communities energy independent and then use that electricity. You might have a little portable unit at your home that converts water into hydrogen and oxygen, and you pump the hydrogen into your car, and you have a hydrogen fuel cell, and the electricity drives your car, or you might have a super fancy battery in your car. I mean, there's a whole lot of different ways to store electricity. Hydrogen is basically a storage system for energy created by electricity. Wave power, another source of electricity. If once we get off oil, the world will change. And that was one of the core things of the Obama stimulus bill, was getting us off oil. And maybe that's also one of the reasons why the Republicans are so hell-bent for leather on destroying his package. Sharon in Bellingham, Washington. Hey, Sharon, what's up?
Hi. Yes, I was wondering, it started out when you were talking about GDP this morning and how it was dropping. And then when you talked to Kerry Lucas, it brought to mind even more.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of stuff out there, and GDP is making more stuff. How do we balance that with the environment and not having tons of stuff that gets thrown away into the environment?
We begin to understand that in nature there is no waste. There is no such thing as waste in nature. Everything's waste is something else's food in nature, and we have to emulate that. That's the first law of nature that we have to understand and emulate. And we're doing a much better job of that in the United States, although we're way, way far away from where we need to be, than they are, for example, in China, where you've got communities that are being poisoned, manufacturing similar things to the things that were manufactured here in the United States that 50 years ago caught the Cuyahoga River on fire and today can be manufactured cleanly. So it's by, you know, using technology, by using our manufacturing processes and engaging massively and totally and ultimately in recycling. We need to reach the point where 100% of everything is recycled. And the energy used to recycle it is the energy, the free energy that comes from the sun. And then we will be emulating that system of nature where when a plant dies, it becomes food for the bacteria. The bacteria nourishes the soil. The nourishing the soil provides nutrients to more plants, and the cycle continues. Animals eat the plants. The animals die. The bacteria and fungi eat the dead animal. The dead animal goes into the soil. It becomes another plant. All that, I mean, nature is all about recycling. We have to become all about recycling, too. And we have to understand the first law of nature. This should be taught to second graders. In nature, there is no waste. Everything's waste is something else's food. And nature is the ultimate recycler, and we have to do the same thing. Joe in Berkeley, California. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Hey, I'm calling about your discussion in the first hour about the economy and specifically about real estate prices.
Yeah.
You know, you're familiar with Dean Baker, I assume, right?
Yeah, he's been on the show many times.
Yeah, I figured. You know, he was on Ron Reagan's show last week, and he's been blogging at Talking Points Memo and so on. And he's basically saying, look, it was the real estate bubble that fueled the economic expansion under Bush, and that bubble hasn't finished deflating yet, and we can't leave it inflated forever. We have to let it deflate. He's actually arguing for accelerating the deflation.
Yes.
How do we do that at the same time as we're trying to keep people in their homes, keep housing prices up? Those things seem to me to be counterpurposes, and I don't know how I'd reconcile that with, you know, with economic recovery.
The 900-pound gorilla in the room, Joe, that is not being discussed is the derivatives that are based on those housing, on the loans for all those houses. Certainly, we have to deal with the fact that housing prices were a bubble and it was inflated. Just like before that, we had the dot-com bubble. We've had a series of bubbles, and you always get bubbles when you have top marginal tax rates on very wealthy people below 50%, as we've had since 1987 in the United States. And so we've had a series of bubble economies. So, you know, I think there's a couple of different structural ways to deal with that. But the big problem, the huge problem that we have, is that the GDP of the United States is around $14, $15 trillion. The GDP of the entire planet is around $56 trillion. And there's somewhere between $600 and $950 trillion worth of derivatives. Bets. In many cases, bets on bets on bets that the value of homes will go up or down, that people will or won't default. And until those start unraveling, until those start unwinding, we're standing on, you know, it's like those guys in Lake Erie, they got, all of a sudden they were on the ice and they were out in the middle of the lake and, you know, the ice broke off. That's where we're at right now, only we don't realize that the ice is about to break off or has already broken off. It's the derivatives that are really going to bite us. And Dean writes about this as well. And frankly, I don't think that anybody has an easy solution for that. The worldwide unraveling that's going to be associated with this is going to be so bad, is going to be so severe, it's going to make the Great Depression look like a friggin' picnic. And we need to batten down the hatches and get ready for it, and get ready for it in every way possible. And I don't think that there are any simple answers to this thing. But, you know, what's happening right now is that Americans are paying down their debt around 3% savings rate compared with a negative savings rate a couple of years ago. That's good for individual Americans, but that actually speeds up the process of deflation.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
The hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a good quality contractor, somebody who's going to do the job right, complete it on time and within budget, and not going to hassle you. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a plumber, a painter, an electrician? I'll tell you who to call. Like me, call Angie's List. Before we signed up for Angie's List, we had a disaster contractor install a kitchen counter. We used Angie's List to find a handyman to show up and fix everything. They really came through for us. More than 650,000 homeowners nationwide use Angie's List for ratings and reviews on more than 300 service categories, even doctors. It's a word-of-mouth network for consumers. Angie's List is a growing collection of homeowners' real-life experiences with local service companies. Now the people who join Angie's List, they're like you. They're looking for a way to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. To join Angie's List, go to AngiesList.com and eliminate the fear of hiring the wrong company. I joined Angie's List, and you should too today at AngiesList.com. 1-888-888-LIST. 888-888-LIST.
He's an outsider.
This is the demise of a civilization.
With an insider's perspective.
Demise of civilization? What are we talking about here?
Ron Reagan, evenings, 6 to 8.
Well, no wonder Bernie Marcos is so upset.
Affording people the chance to unionize so that they could get better wages and benefits would be the death of America.
Ron Reagan, right after Randy Rhodes.
You've got to wonder about these titans of capitalism. You got to wonder what's going on in their head.
AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Is your credit score holding you back? Are you paying more for everything just because you don't have perfect credit? Well, it's not your fault. Credit card companies are doing everything they can to keep you in debt and never let you escape. But I've got a system that can fix your credit score once and for all. And I'm going to send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system today.
My credit score is now 758. My wife and I are shouting for joy right now.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't just fix your credit score, it will permanently rebuild your credit status so it can never come back to haunt you again. It works no matter how bad your credit is or how much debt you have.
Our credit score was in the low 600s and now we're at 780.
You can wipe the slate clean once and for all. Call right now and I'll rush you my free tape. For your free tape, call 1-800-900-3142. That's 1-800-900-3142. 1-800-900-3142.
Hey, Carl Wolfson here. Thanks to KPOJ listeners, last month, Eyes on Broadway collected dozens of pairs of eyeglasses that will be distributed in March when Dr. Tom Barreto travels to Peru to perform eye exams. If it's been more than a year since you've had your eyes checked, call Eyes on Broadway today at 503-284-2300 to schedule an appointment. Eyes on Broadway is a proud supporter of Progressive Radio, which is just one reason why I've been a loyal patient for 8 years. Call 284-2300 or visit eyesonbroadway.com.
When you think of having it all, just think up north, just downriver. With easy access to Portland without the hassles of city life, the Port of Kalama is a perfect place for your business to flourish. Kalama is close, yet near natural grandeur. Recreation and business-friendly tax benefits await. The Port of Kalama offers all the superior facilities your business needs to thrive and a quality of life without comparison. The Port of Kalama, where business lives. Visit portofkalama.com.
Just hang on a little longer. Your investments will come back.
Sound familiar? Or worse, your advisor hasn't even called. I'm Bill Meyer, president of Strategic Group, a Portland investment advisor firm. If you want an advisor that provides more than just a buy-and-hope approach to investing and have $500,000 of investable assets, for a free consultation, call now, 503-222-9737.
Real people, real results, Strategic Group.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Where did all the daydreams go? I only know that they're gone. Just another of the things I've lost, and now I mind my manners when I'm talking to the boss, because I always thought I would be somebody, and I never thought it would come to this. Now I'm just another working stiff.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. I'll tell you, here's the opportunity that's embedded in all this disaster we've been talking about all day long. We now have an opportunity to reinvent our monetary system. And I believe that within the next few years, we're going to see the dollar crash and the fractional banking reserve system, fractional reserve banking system around the world crash to the point where it's going to have to be reinvented, just like we first reinvented the thing, you know, back with the Bretton Woods Treaty. And actually, it's been reinvented in the United States several times. In 1846, the crash of the collapse of the Second Bank of the United States. In 1832, as I recall, the collapse of the First Bank of the United States. We have reinvented our banking systems over and over. We can reinvent that. We need to reinvent our energy systems. We need to reinvent the concept of work, frankly. We need to reinvent the concept of nationalism. What is a nation? Where are its boundaries? How do nations interact with each other? How do we trade appropriately so that we don't have 5 or 6 billion people making $1 a day competing with people who are trying to earn $20 or $30 a day or $50 or $100 a day or whatever it may be, and yet each country can have an economy that works for itself based on its own natural resources. We have this, out of this crisis, we have this extraordinary opportunity now to get it right. And I think we need to really be seriously having conversations now about how do we get it right? How do we do these things right? What are the lessons we can learn from nature about how to do it right? And, you know, for my part, that's one of my primary focuses, I'm talking about on this radio program. It's the essence of the book that I have that'll be coming out in the next couple of months. It's called Threshold, The Crisis of Western Civilization or Western Culture, from Viking Penguin. And I think it's something that we all need to be thinking about and talking about and pulling our politicians along with. Victoria Jones with the Talk Radio News Service on the line with us, talkradionews.com, their website. Hey, Victoria, how you doing today?
I'm very well, thanks. Yourself?
I am just great, but I'll get better. What's going on in the world?
Excellent. Well, very interesting confusion when it comes to polling at the moment. On the one hand, you've got Gallup this morning showing 67% of people approve of President Obama's handling of the stimulus plan and only 25% disapproving. But on the other hand, there's a new poll from Rasmussen showing that Americans overwhelmingly favor more tax cuts over more spending in the stimulus plan. 62% of those surveyed favor more tax cuts and less spending, and only 14% favor more spending and few tax cuts, which doesn't necessarily bode well for the president as he goes around the country, although you wouldn't get that impression judging by the rapturous response that he got from his town hall meeting in Elkhart, Indiana, just a couple of hours ago.
Yeah, I would guess that this is a result of the fact that we've seen Republicans talking about tax cuts 2-1 on network television and on cable television over the last few weeks. 2-1, Republicans over Democrats, being presented as experts and guests on these topics. And so, therefore, it influences public opinion.
I think that that certainly does make a difference. I think there's no doubt about it. He still is polling certainly far more popularly than the Republicans. Even the Democratic Congress, which is not polling terribly popularly, is polling more popularly than Republicans also. The town hall in Elkhart, Indiana, you'll be pleased to know, if you don't know already, was open to the public, unlike former President Bush's town hall meetings, which were held almost exclusively, not only in party strongholds, but with tickets distributed to supporters.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And how did it go? Was he heckled by Republicans, or was it civil?
It was civil, as a matter of fact. It was a mixed crowd, but it was civil. People were excited to see him. It was a mixed crowd, mixed group of questions. But overall, I would say it was pretty successful.
That's great. That's great.
It was successful.
What else is going on in the world, Victoria?
Well, one of the other things that's going on is we've got White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs, who was gaggling on Air Force One, also talking about the package, and he says that what they're doing is they're not explaining to Indiana what's going on in Washington. They're explaining to Washington what's going on in Indiana. We've also got which is an interesting way of putting it. We've also got Eric Holder, the new attorney general, is very disturbed by the reports of torture, and he apparently is really thinking about what he is going to have to do, because when the convening authority for the U.S. Military Commission, Susan Crawford, told the Washington Post last month that she was refusing to bring charges against one of the detainees because his interrogations met the legal definition of torture. Now, apparently, Eric Holder thinks that Crawford's comments can't be ignored, and he's wrestling with what to do about it. And he had previously said in his testimony that he was not probably going to go forward and prosecute anybody, and now he's rethinking that.
Prosecute the people, the torturers? Or prosecute those who ordered the torture. Because my sense
of
it was
that he was... Well, that's not clear.
Yeah, because, I mean, the point that the nominee for head of the CIA is making is that he doesn't want to go after individual CIA officers who were simply, you know, Leon Panetta, who were simply doing their best, thinking that they were operating under legal orders and probably watching too much Jack Bauer. But he did not... You know, he punted on whether or not the people who actually ordered it should be prosecuted. Bush, John Yoo, Karl Rove, well, arguably not Rove with regard to torture, but Cheney, Rumsfeld, those guys. So is your sense that Holder is looking at prosecuting senior administration officials, or that he's looking at going after the low-level people who did the work?
My readout on this is that he would be going for low and mid. I don't think that he would be looking at going after Bush. Maybe as high as you, but I would think even that would be unlikely.
As John Yoo, not me.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
You.
Who's on first?
Yeah.
Right. No, you's on first. All righty. Victoria Jones of the Talk Radio News Service. Very interesting, Victoria. Thank you for sharing that with us. Great to have you
Thanks
with us.
Thanks very much.
As always, Greg, good talking with you. Coming up next, Ralph Nader. What's Ralph up to these days? What's on his mind? Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club.
providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I got it. And welcome back to our third hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Ralph Nader on the line with us, author of The 17 Traditions and all around in general, one of America's national treasures. RalphNader.org, Nader.org, his website. And Ralph Nader, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you.
You recently wrote a brilliant piece. I'd like to start with this and then broadly just get into your thoughts on where the economy's at, how we get out of this thing, what's going on with the bailout and everything else. About a tax on stock derivative transactions, which I've been pushing for, a year or more here on this program and in my writings, too. And do you think that there's any chance that this basically a tax on speculating using stocks, as we had in this country for a long, long time, might come into being?
Yes. If enough people actually raise it before their senators and representatives, because there is a sort of silent support for it on Capitol Hill. But the problem is Congress can't chew gum and walk at the same time, Tom. And so they're into this stimulus package, but they haven't raised the issue of how are they going to pay for it. And so the Republicans are going after him saying, aha, you see, you're going to spend $800, $900 billion or whatever, and you're going to go into deficit, and you're not telling the American people it's going to lead to inflation and a decline in the dollar. Well, the Democrats have to say, oh, yeah, here's how we're going to pay for it. Last year there were $500 trillion in derivative transactions, puts, calls, straddles, all that, stuff on Wall Street. 0.1% will produce $500 billion. Now, anybody listening to this program is probably in a state that has a sales tax. So you go in a state and you pay 6, 7, 8% to buy a stove or to buy clothing or other necessities of life. But right now, as we speak, someone could be putting in an order in Wall Street for $100 million of, Exxon derivatives, and they pay nothing by way of sales tax. So there's absolutely no argument against it because, in addition, it helps damp down speculation, as you have written about for years.
Yes.
And, in fact, I've got a copy of your column that says how Wall Street can bail itself out without destroying the dollar.
Yeah.
And so that's what we've got to do. There's a huge opportunity here. They're putting a big hole in the federal deficit. They're bailing out banks that are not going to be able to recover.
Yeah.
And at least we can get this stock transaction tax reinstated, as you indicated in your column. It was in operation until 1966 in the United States. It helped fund the Civil War and the Spanish-American War. And a lot of foreign countries, from Taiwan to England to France and Italy, et cetera, they have a transaction tax. So this is a perfect example of a bottom-up mega change, and who should pay the freight here?
And it would make the system a little more viscous, a little less I lack the word, but hysterical, reactionary, unpredictable. Ralph Nader, I'm curious what your thoughts are on where we're at economically right now. It seems to me that we need to invoke the Sherman Act, break up some of these big banks, not to mention all the other big conglomerates that have come into being since the 1980s when Reagan stopped enforcing the Sherman Act. Let the chips fall where they may, maybe do like Northern Rock, like Gordon Brown did, nationalize the banks to protect and as the Swedes did, to protect the depositors, But the stockholders, sorry, Charlie, you know, you made a bet and you lost. And then when the small and maybe even say, you know, bank charters can only be statewide, period, and keep them small. Am I out in La La Land here, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think there was a proposal in the Wall Street Journal by a Stanford professor, I think it was Friday or Thursday, where he said, look, why doesn't the government start 10 new banks? If you're going to spend $350 billion, start 10 new banks. They would be government-owned, but they would be temporarily government-owned. And with $350 billion, these banks can lend out $3.5 trillion on a conservative 10-to-1 ratio.
That's right, which is what the Fed calls for. That's the rules right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, I mean, some of the banks were going 20-30%,
right.
as 20-30 times. So this is a conservative, $3.5 trillion into the market, government-owned, and then they can start selling it off and get the money back as these banks prosper.
Right.
That's one. The second is, if they really want to increase consumer demand, the way to do it, other than expanding unemployment compensation, which is what they're doing, and other than expanding food stamps, which is what they're doing, because that's money that's going to be spent immediately in the marketplace, is to give people targeted vouchers. You basically say, we're going to give people X amount of dollars, no matter who they are. They can't save it. They've got to spend it on consumer products within, say, 6 months.
Yeah, it's like how food stamps
otherwise work. It expires.
Yeah, it's the way food stamps work. It's why they're so stimulative, because they actually do get spent, and they get spent on food, which is typically grown locally, although not always, obviously.
Right. But I'm afraid that if they put too much into these rotting banks, it'll be just like, the $350 billion they put in last year under Bush. Nobody knows where it went. Nobody knows how much of it has been loaned out, how much of it has been put into, acquisitions, dividends, et cetera. In fact, the best appraisal of what happened to that first $350 billion, or what didn't happen, is by Professor Elizabeth Warren, who is heading a congressional watchdog group, very, very small group, and she's put out two or three reports. They're usually short and right to the point. So just Google Professor Elizabeth Warren, you'll be able to get it online. And you'll get this is a real honest appraisal of what's going on here, where's it going, who's not disclosing.
Yeah. I'm curious, we're going to have to borrow $2.5 trillion in the next 12 to 18 months just to keep on the course we're on, between the stimulus and the ongoing deficits and debts that have been left to us by 28 years of insane economic policies. And there are some who are speculating that there's not $2.5 trillion worth of liquid capital out in the world that's looking for investments to buy. In other words, we may not be able to sell that debt, certainly not at current rates. We may see instead interest rates have to perhaps double before people will start coming out of the woodwork and selling off other assets in order to have dollars to buy this stuff. Are we close to, in your opinion, Ralph Nader, the point where perhaps we should reboot our entire economic system, maybe federalize the Fed, nationalize the Fed, reinvent our currency, something like that? I mean, some sort of major change?
Yeah, because this is big. I mean, this is depression. You look at the reports now, Tom, and the word recession is very widespread in the newspapers. Now you're seeing the word depression coming
in.
Yeah. And we've got to do something much more fundamental, because what we've done is we've turned our economy into a hostage to gigantic, omnipresent Wall Street speculation.
Yeah.
It's one thing if they were gambling with their own money, like Las Vegas. But they're gambling with our money, pension money, trillions of dollars in mutual funds, worker pension monies, trust funds. And so that's why what I mean when I say we have allowed our our economy held hostage by the wrong institution, the New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ, the commodity markets. These are not designed either to provide capital for investment anymore or to safeguard other people's savings. They're just circulating casino halls. and unregulated to boot. David Corton has just come out with a book. You probably know him.
Yeah, David is a good friend of mine, and I just got a copy. I just got a galley of the book. I look forward to reading it.
And he raises the key question is, why are we assigning Wall Street this pivotal role for the future of our economy and working people in America? There are a lot better ways to replace what Wall Street is allegedly there for. Let them gamble on Wall Street with their own money.
Right.
But when it comes to safeguarding trillions of dollars of savings, pension funds, et cetera, when it comes to raising money for productive purposes, building factories, starting stores, whatever, we've got to do it directly. We cannot rely on casino capitalism.
Amen. Ralph Nader, consumer advocate, lawyer, author, former presidential candidate, a guy I voted for in 2000, the author of numerous books, including The Good Fight and The 17 Traditions, Nader.org, his website. Ralph Nader, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom, and
it's
your listeners.
Always great talking with you. Have a wonderful day, and keep up the good fight. You've been doing a great job for 75 years. We all appreciate it. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Tom Hartman here. You've heard me talk a lot about the special men's vitamin called Beta Prostate. I keep bringing it up because every single man listening should take care of their prostate health. When you're younger, your prostate gland is about the size of a walnut, but as you grow older, it can swell up to the size of a lemon. This could mean getting up at night for bathroom trips, difficulty urinating, even sexual dysfunction. So you got to see your doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate every day. Not too long ago, we invited the formulator of Beta Prostate, research chemist Roger Mason, on my show. He told us that prostate problems are a growing epidemic, and statistics say that 3/4 of all American men will eventually have prostate problems. And now Roger Mason will be extending his special offer, buy two, get one free. And he's even throwing in his book, The Natural Prostate Cure, for free, plus a money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803. Call now, because this is an amazing value. 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth?
It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11. AM 620 KBOJ. 620KBOJ.com.
At a time when Portland homeowners need it the most, mortgage rates have just taken an abrupt nosedive to a 50-year low. So if you've been patiently waiting for that perfect time to refinance, pull the trigger today and lock in rates as low as, are you ready? 5% flat with an APR of 5.25. I'm Hayes Barnard, owner of Paramount Equity, and this dream rate can vanish in the blink of an eye. So be decisive and grab the phone right now. We all know this financial crisis will end, and when it does, you'll be so glad you locked in that 5% rate with an APR of 5.25. Listen, when others can't help, Paramount Equity is still committed to saving our neighbors money with zero out-of-pocket expenses. So call 718-1000 today. And when you like it, lock it. 503-718-1000.
Paramount Equity, lending with expertise. Paramount Equity Mortgage.
License number ML3256.
Do you know why you get dark circles under your eyes? Because blood leaks out of your capillaries and pools under your skin. I'm not kidding. It's just like an ugly bruise. But now you can erase dark circles with a proven breakthrough called Hydralyze. Hydralyze diminishes dark circles and tightens puffiness and bags by repairing leaky capillaries, leaving you with younger, brighter eyes. See for yourself by calling for a free trial right now. Just call 1-800-993-1669.
My husband, he can't stop complimenting me. People tell me I look 10 years younger.
Even surgery cannot deliver these stunning results. Hydralyze is so powerful it even helps build new collagen in the skin, reducing crow's feet and wrinkles. Try Hydralyze risk-free and see for yourself.
Well, I used it and, wow, the dark circles are gone. I don't look tired anymore. I feel great.
You deserve younger, brighter eyes. Call now for your free trial of Hydralyze and experience the transformation for yourself. For your free trial, call 1-800-993-1669. That's 1-800-993-1669.
Now, recycle any brand of ink or toner cartridge at Staples and get $3 back in Staples Rewards. Recycling limit of 10 per calendar month per customer. Limit one Staples Rewards account per address. Visit staplesrewards.com for full details.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Get you, who's coming with me? There's a fine line between falling and flying. It all really feels the same, but you gotta do it anyway. Oh, what else can I say? I'm doing no time.
Welcome back to Talk Radio for the sane among us. Tom Hartman here with you. Rich Trumka on the line with us, the Secretary-Treasurer of the AFL-CIO, the website, of course, AFL-CIO.org. And, Rich, congratulations to being appointed to the White House Economic Recovery Advisory Board. That's, you're now a major, you were a big shot to begin with. Now you're a major big shot.
Thanks a lot, Tom. I know I get another job with no more pay.
Well, yeah, but, you know, hanging out with Paul Volcker and all these guys, I mean, you may be one of the guys who can help save this country. I mean, it's quite serious.
I really appreciate that because, you know, I will speak for the working person. I can promise you that, and for trying to rebuild the middle class, and at least they'll hear from us and all of our kind. So hopefully it'll be a chance to make the recovery work for everybody and create an economy that really does work for everybody and not just people at the top like the old economy did.
Rich, in conventional classic economics for 7,000 years, everybody understood that wages created demand and productivity created supply. In other words, you know, nobody wanted to buy anything until somebody got paid and they had money in their pocket, they could go out and buy it, and or they made it wanted to, but they couldn't. And the demand was created by wages. And Reagan, of course, flipped this upside down with Jude Wodisky's supply-side economics. He invented the term. And Arthur Laffer's curve and all this other nonsense. And for 30 years, we've been suffering under these delusions. To what extent do you think that within the Obama White House, the general insanity of supply side is widely recognized? Because I'm still hearing it from Democrats, particularly in this debate right now about this fiscal stimulus package. You know, they're all talking about tax cuts and all this stuff, and it's supply side all over again.
Well, I think he's getting a lot of advice that would be contrary to supply side economics. I wouldn't say it's dead because there are probably some people that still advocate it. But I think what he does do, I think he still gets a large dose of Wall Street economics, which is different than Main Street economics. The problem we had was that regulation was gone. There was no regulating Wall Street, and it gave us an economy really that spiraled out of control. And that's been the history of the United States all the way back to George Washington. When you took away the controls, you had problems with it. And so he's probably still getting a lot of advice along those lines as well.
In the 1980s.
So we're putting our two cents in and trying to say that, look, if you're going to stimulate an economy, you have to ask the question, to what end? If we're going to try to create the economy that we had, it'll be the same problems that we had. So this is a chance for us to change the economy, create a basis of a real economy that works for everybody.
Right. Tell me what the status and fate of the Buy American provision is.
Well, the Senate version of the economic stimulus actually extends the Buy American provisions to manufacturing goods, in addition to iron and steel that were in the House version. So that'll mean more jobs created, and that'll mean that the local economy gets strengthened. There's a number of people, you know, 90% of the American public understand the common sense of the Buy American provisions. Look, yeah. I mean, it's this simple. We're in the most severe economic contraction we've seen since the Great Depression. The idea here is to stimulate our economy. And if you spend taxpayers' dollars buying goods and material that were made and produced in another country, you stimulate their economy, not our economy. So Buy American says, spend taxpayers' dollars creating jobs here in the United States. Our economy gets built up, and then we can help others by having our economy spin off to them.
And yet, to a man and a woman, the Republicans in the House and Senate get all hysterical and say, this is protectionist. This is protection. I ask, what's wrong with protecting us?
Well, that's exactly the point. And, you know, here I asked this to the ambassador of the European Union the other day. I said, if an American consumer goes into a store and there are two shirts, one made in the United States and one made somewhere else, if they buy the shirt that's made in the United States, is that protectionism? And he said, of course not. And I said, well, that's exactly what we're doing here. We're taking U.S. tax dollars, and what we're saying is to stimulate our economy, we choose to buy American-made products and American-made steel rather than somebody else's so that we can stimulate our economy. What's the difference?
Yeah,
he sputtered and stammered, and there wasn't any difference because that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, if we're going to use taxpayer dollars that, you know, generated off work here in the United States, let's use them to absolutely. I hope it survives. We have about a little more than a half a minute left. We're talking with the Secretary Treasurer of the AFL-CIO, Rich Trumka, now also a member of the White House Economic Advisory Board, Recovery Advisory Board. Rich, final thoughts, things you want our listeners to know about?
You know, we're in a mess, and we really do have to get the economy going and create jobs. We lost another 600,000 jobs in January. We cannot continue this. Every day that this stimulus and recovery package isn't passed is a day that we lose more jobs. Everybody ought to be leaning on their representatives and say, look, let's think about America first. Let's put this package in place. Let's save jobs. Let's save American economy.
Amen. And you got all the right-wing talk radio out there saying, call your congressman and tell him to kill this thing. We need to do the same thing, only the flip around. Pass this thing. Let's make it work. Rich Trumka, thanks so much for dropping by, Rich.
Thanks, Tom. I really appreciate it. Take care and good luck.
Thank you. You too. AFLCIO.org, by the way, Rich's website. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I'm telling you, change is coming, and I think down the road, we got a bumpy road that's coming, but down the road, it's going to be a pretty good one. By the way, just a quick heads up, on the 15th and 16th of February in San Francisco, Dalai Lama Renaissance, the movie produced and directed by Kashyar Darvish, he's going to be there for a screening of it at the Red Vic Movie House in San Francisco, the 15th and 16th. And this is a movie of, there was a group of about 30 of us who went to visit, to spend a week with the Dalai Lama back in the late 90s. I think it was 98 or 99. And I was among that group. In fact, my voice is the first voice you hear when the movie plays. I'm not much in the movie. You don't see very much of me. Didn't make it through the cutting floor. I guess I wasn't dramatic enough. But I was there for the whole thing. And it's an interesting movie. I think you'll enjoy it. And so I just give you a heads up on that.
coffee cool. Real slow.
Well, yeah, according to the people in New Zealand.
Baby, take off your shoes. Take the
They're running this worldwide online video contest.
Baby, take off your dress. Yes, yes, yes. You can't leave your hat on.
And they're offering $10,000 for the best nudity videos. New Zealand, the World Nude Day is being proclaimed by groups out of New Zealand. But at the same time, the U.S. National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute has declared February 9th as Wear Red Day. So how do you reconcile these two things? Well, keep your hat on and make it a red hat. How's that? I don't know. 866-303-2270, our phone number, Tony in L.A. Hey, Tony, what's on your mind today? Tony? I'm not hearing Tony, so let's go to Kevin in Santa Fe. Hey, Kevin, what's on your mind today? I'm not hearing Kevin either. Okay, let's try another one. Let's try Alan in Miami. Alan, are you there?
Are you hearing me?
I am hearing you just fine.
Okay, a little bit of humor now and then spikes things up. I like it.
There you go. Thank you.
I just wanted to, amongst other things, I wanted to say thanks for having Ralph Nader on. One of the reasons why we're into such dire straits is that here we have people, both of whom major parties who I think are not mature and each in their own way showing a certain amount of adolescence. They're not allowing other people into the debate, voices we need to hear.
Yeah.
And obviously Ralph is one of those voices. There are a lot of people who have solutions, who have seen the problems coming for a long time and haven't been tied to this whole triangulating BS, which keeps us in a very difficult position. And I think we have to look at both parties. It's amazing that they even play this back-and-forth tit-for-tat game. I'm glad to hear that you are showing a little bit of impatience with Obama at this point, because there was no reason to come in there without swinging full and said, we won this election, we're moving ahead, this is where we're going to go.
Yeah, he needed to be talking like Franklin Roosevelt, but even Franklin Roosevelt took 3 years before he started talking like Franklin Roosevelt. So, you know,
but they're having to watch their back because their own sponsorship. I mean, you know, after all, you know, the big party thrown by AT&T at the Denver convention and all that stuff. I mean, we're not hearing or seeing. It looks like it's a problem between Republican and Democratic Congress people and their constituencies and their plans, but it's much bigger than that.
It really is, Alan, and you nailed it, and you nailed it very well. And this is, you know, Bernie Sanders was on CNN the other day, and he said the exact same thing he said on this program many times in the 5 or 6 years that he's been doing our Friday Brunch with Bernie segment every single Friday. God bless him for it. All these years. And that is, you know, Wolf said, why don't you just become a Democrat? You caucus with them. And he said, because both the Democratic and Republican parties are controlled by big money. And until, you know, we've got to get big money out of politics. And he's absolutely right. He is absolutely right. Now, you know, I think that, you know, part of the solution is for us to get inside the political parties and take them over. I'm in favor of the infiltration strategy rather than the stand on the outside strategy. I think Bernie does both, and I think he would encourage both. But spot on, and this is the point that Ralph Nader made, and has made all his life, and continues to make. And good on him for doing it. Harvey in Phoenix. Hey, by the way, I know we've got a lot of web listeners listening from Phoenix right now, because apparently you guys had a thunderstorm yesterday and it knocked out the transmitter for the station.
Is that what happened? Okay.
That's my understanding. We talked to the folks there, and they said that they're out there scrambling to get the transmitter back up. Apparently took a lightning strike or something. Anyhow, what's on your mind? Harvey?
Oh, I'm on the phone. Okay.
You are on the air. Yes, sir.
Okay. Something off to the side. I train dogs for a living, and I generally see about 50, 60 people during the week. And about three months ago, I was talking to one of them who is also a close friend, and we were arguing some sort of constitutional thing. And I said to him, well, when was the last time you read the Constitution? And he said, 3 months ago, which just sort of knocked me down.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how has that happened? He said, well, I took my son and my family to Washington, D.C. And while I was there, I bought a copy of the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and had them read it.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat back and I said, you know, how many people have actually read the Constitution and Declaration of Independence?
Yeah.
And having, you know, so many people that I see daily, and you become very friendly with them because I'm training their dogs, which are their darlings and love, and we start talking about this, that, and the other thing. And I started asking them, you know, when was the last time you read the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, or have you ever read it?
Right.
And it blew me away. Aside from the three of us, myself and Chad and his son Don, who had to read it because Chad said, you're going to read this.
Right.
I had three other people that actually could remember ever reading the Declaration of Independence or Constitution.
Well, yeah. Maybe it's just because I grew up in a capital city. I grew up in Lansing, Michigan, which was the capital of Michigan. But I remember in fourth or fifth grade, and which would have been 1958, 59, something like that, that we had to read the Constitution. We had to read the Declaration of Independence. We had to memorize the preamble. I still mostly have it memorized. And we had to memorize the Gettysburg Address. And
I know exactly what you're talking about. I grew up in New York City, and sometime during my elementary school, we went down to basically one of the places was Francis Tavern, where George Washington gave his farewell speech, and my mother bought a copy of the Declaration of Independence. Which was on false parchment, of course, and,
right.
and I was required by my mother to read it. And in high school, we were required to read the Constitution. And in college, I went to CCMY in New York City. Part of it, again, was we were required to read it and understand it. We were tested on it. It was called civics.
Yeah, but it got largely stripped out of our public schools in the 1980s because the war that David Horowitz is continuing to fight in on our college campuses right now, you know, the war against liberal professors, was if you're old enough to recall, in the 1980s during the so-called Reagan Revolution, was the war against liberal and communist teachers, the Socialist Teachers Union. And that they were teaching socialism in the school. They were teaching the history of labor, for example. They, you know, people were learning in the 10th grade who Joe Hill was, God forbid, and about the Pullman Porter strike and the Haymarket riots and things like that. And, you know, this used to actually be part of curriculum in public schools in the United States from the 19th century up until the 1980s. And there was so much blowback and so much hysteria about that. And the consolidation that had happened when Reagan stopped enforcing the Sherman Act, we ended up with just three or four major textbook publishers in the United States, and the state of Texas Board of Education became the vetter for all textbooks in the United States by default, and basically all that stuff has been by and large stripped out of our textbooks and stripped out of the curriculum for the last 20 years. So you've got kids in their 20s, 30s, maybe even early 40s who have never read the Constitution, don't understand the separation of power between the three branches of government. Never read the Declaration of Independence. If they did, they would think it was written by Karl Marx. And you know, they don't get it. They don't understand, and they don't. And even the concept of privacy is unknown. And on it goes. And we need to bring this stuff back into our educational system. We need to educate the current generations that are coming up, and the next generation that's of the people who are kids now who are going to be entering the workforce in the next 5, 10, 15 years. We need to educate them about how American democracy, this great republic of ours, works, and how democratic institutions work as well. We really must do this.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money. It's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
The most progressive 3 hours of local radio you'll hear all day.
Elliott's Hardware has appealed to former President George W. Bush to spend his newfound retirement working as a part-time greeter.
We guarantee it.
Carl Wilson and friends.
Can you tell me where the rakes are?
Weekday 6 to 9.
I'm disappointed. There are no rakes. It's not an error that the store has no rakes, but we are disappointed.
Carl Wilson and friends. Weekday 6 to 9. AM 620 KPOJ.
Second chances are rare, but when one does come along, it's a good idea to take advantage of it. Sterling Life Insurance Company offers you a second chance to consider the choices you made for your Medicare health coverage. Simply call 1-800-489-8506. You'll get a real live person. No annoying phone tree, no endless button pushing. They'll help you compare your current coverage to the many choices Sterling offers. Sterling is about choices, real customer service, and trust. If you've seen our TV commercials, you know how good Sterling customers feel about the company. That's pretty rare in the insurance business. With Sterling plans, you have the freedom to choose doctors, hospitals, and specialists. Sterling even has plans that include free gym memberships at participating facilities, vision, hearing, and dental. Find out if your coverage matches up to Sterling's. Call 1-800-489-8506 before March 31st. Sterling Health Plans. Real people, wise choices.
Hey, Tom Hartman here to talk to you about Hawthorne Fish House's new $5.95 cash lunch menu. Choose from six delicious combos like fried cod or chicken strips with fries and coleslaw, or warm up with a bowl of chowder and a salad. Combos also include your choice of soda, lemonade, tea, coffee, or juice, all for just $5.95. What are you waiting for? Offer valid weekdays between 11 to 3 only at Hawthorne Fish House when paying with cash. And be sure to check out their gluten-free menu available at both Hawthorne Fish House Southeast and Corbett Fish House Southwest.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch? This month at Floor Trends Northwest in Sellwood, when you schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, you also get a gift certificate good for lunch at either Hawthorne Fish House Southeast or Corbett Fish House Southwest. Now's the time to start planning for your spring home improvement projects. Schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, tile, hardwood, or carpet, by calling 503-236-8775 or visit floortrendsnw.com.
I want to be a veterinarian. A firefighter.
A video game programmer.
Whatever our children dream of becoming when they grow up, they need to be ready. I'm Susan Castillo, State Superintendent of Schools. Oregon is improving the high school diploma, giving our children what they need to succeed in school, work, and life. Find out how you can help your kids rise to the challenge and make a plan for their future. Visit GetReadyOregon.org.
Sponsored by the Oregon Department of Education and aired by the Oregon Association of Broadcasters and the station.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I think the best of America is ahead of us, frankly. I agree with Ravi Batra in his book, The New Golden Age, that we're going to go through a rough road, and what's going to come out of it is something. Is an America even better and a world even better. I really do believe that. We have a winner in our Sean Picks Her Favorite blog post over at TomHartmann.com to today's comments. And who is the winner today, Sean?
Today, the winner is Minnesota Mike, who says, I would urge all of U.S., or all of us, excuse me, to request that our president declare a state of national emergency now. It is time to publicly disclose the CBO forecast, impose immediate 25% emergency budget cuts in military spending, impose progressive quarterly trade tariffs, impose emergency income tax hikes on the top 1%, rework tax deductions on business to reward increases in worker pay, and penalize CEO profligacy?
Profligacy.
The criminalization of unregulated banking and corporatization needs our undivided attention, as does our nationalization of the Federal Reserve. I believe failure to do all of this immediately spells certain demise of the American experiment, which many of the neocon fascists are quick to remind us is the nature of our national union. Thank you, Tom, for your tireless work as our voice.
Well, congratulations to Minnesota Mike, you said?
Minnesota Mike.
Minnesota Mike, who wins a copy of Walking Your Blues Away, How to Heal the Mind and Create Emotional Well-Being by Tom Hartman. And I will autograph it as soon as we get off the air, and we'll get it in the mail to you.
Ghost chickens in the sky.
Oh, our chicken alert, our pigeon alert for the day. Yeah, one of the world's rarest birds now calls Blank Park Zoo home, and she's looking for love. All endangered Moritas? I don't know how to pronounce the name of the... I know the islands are... In the South Pacific, as I recall, the pink pigeon recently joined a flock of more than 150 of these birds flying around the zoo's lush indoor discovery center. It's a U.S. captive breeding program called the Species Survival Plan, and they try to locate a mate for her in the coming months. Why is it that pink pigeons are becoming so rare? Well, of course, the robotic pigeons are displacing them. Of course. Well, makes perfect sense, doesn't it? By the way, my BuzzFlash Book of the Month is now up over at BuzzFlash.com. We had Mike Lux on the show last week. His new book, Progressive Revolution, How the Best in America Came to Be. And you can read the review of it and get information about it over at BuzzFlash.com. So check it out. Dennis in Vermont. Hey, Dennis, welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just want to have a few comments about the Republicans always crying about more tax cuts. I mean, it seems to me that the stimulus package is quite a compromise. Almost half of it goes to tax cuts. And, you know, they seem to want to get rid of the spending on infrastructure, you know, repairing roads and bridges so they get more tax cuts. I don't know why they don't want to repair roads and bridges. I think that everybody uses them.
They don't want to repair roads and bridges because it involves putting working people back to work. They want tax cuts because they're not really tax cuts. They're tax deferrals. You know, we're still spending the money. We're still generating the debt. That tax is going to have to be paid. It's just going to have to be paid by our children. So, you know, they want to stick the money in their pocket and live high, and continue to live high. This has been the Republican philosophy since Reagan came in. You know, get while the getting's good and to hell with the kids.
Isn't there a point where the tax cuts become too much and it's going to hurt the economy?
Yeah, I think it started in about 1983. And we're seeing the consequences, and it's an absolute disaster. There should be no tax cuts, or at the very most, if you want to have a short-term stimulus, see, tax cuts for working people will produce a short-term stimulus, but over a long period of time, tax cuts for working people will simply lead to an erosion in wages. Wages will go down as much as the taxes went down, because the net pay that people take home basically reflects what the workplace, you know, what the market for labor is. So, you know, if you want to produce a short-term stimulus, sure, give working people a short-term tax cut. But it's actually, I mean, you're really borrowing money. You're actually, you know, for every $100 that somebody gets to keep, in quotes, they're eventually going to have to pay $200 because you got to pay it back with interest to the Chinese or the Bush family or whoever bought those treasury bills. It's crazy. There should be no tax cuts at all, or at the very least, let's reorganize the tax system so we go back to people making over a couple million bucks a year, are paying 70, 80% taxes, and people making under $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year are paying virtually no income taxes, because that would reflect the relative use of the infrastructure of America. Michael in Los Angeles. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Hi. I think that the single most important thing we should be doing now is something about the minimum wage and wages in general. We've suppressed wages for 30 years with Friedman economics. We've diluted them with taxes, inflation, and cost of living. We've devaluated them by integrating them into the global economy, which doesn't have the carrying costs of the American workers. The rest of the world doesn't have the carrying cost of the American workers as existence, and you cannot bilk workers that cannot afford to exist in this country. So I think that, you know, maybe we should index our American wages, you know, because that's what we're seeing, a run up the food chain on the brackets of income earners, and that's what's fallen apart because we've got 100 million underclass that's been made invisible, and you just simply cannot continue to sweep them under the carpet and think that you can get anything out of workers that cannot afford to earn anything. Because that's the workers are supposed to prop up the system. And if they don't have any income, that's what we're seeing.
You're absolutely right. Well said, Michael. Thank you very much. I mean, if we continue going down the road that the Republicans have been leading us for 28 years, we are going to end up with virtually no middle class, a huge working poor class. You're going to have 20-30% unemployment, which by the way, why is it the unemployment figures go up, the stock market goes up? Because transnational corporations love it. The cost of labor goes down. Tomorrow, Daniela Markham of the Heritage Foundation, Eric Weingartner of Monster.com talk about jobs and how to get them. Don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.